So this morning we're talking about the power of love. That's our series, isn't it? And we haven't put them out this morning, but if you grab a diary sheet from near the front of the church, you'll find that on the back of it is a listing of the series and all the different talks within that. Love is really powerful. It's not just a fluffy emotion, it's something you can build your life upon. And those who want to be like Jesus, love is more important than anything else. It's the one thing to set your heart on in Jesus. Because we're told that anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. If you want to know someone who really knows God, don't look for their Bible knowledge. Don't look for how often they come to church. Don't look for how many Bible verses they know. How much do they love? How much do they love those who are unlovable? That's the key. That's a mature Christian. Look at them, watch them, learn from them, don't let them go. Anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. That's on our board up there. It's on our lovely rainbow board outside. Now this morning, I want to take you back to school. Let's do some maths. I want to give you an equation to learn, and it's this. Because our subject is patience. Okay, it's patience plus perseverance. I think I'm going to spell this wrong. I'm terrible at spelling perseverance. Perseverance plus Jesus equals profit. Profit in godly and good things. Patience plus perseverance plus Jesus equals profit. If you remember nothing else this morning, remember that sum. Now, before I explain what patience is, I want to explain what patience isn't. Please don't think you're being patient if you lack ambition. So you might seem patient, you don't rush around for things to happen, but you're not patient, you just don't have any drive. That's not patience, okay? Don't think you're patient if you don't care. So you seem patient with people, bearing with them in their suffering, bearing with the turmoil of your workplace, but actually deep down you aren't patient, you just don't care. You're not being patient when you have low expectations. So you stick with a person or organisation even when nothing happens. It's not because you're being patient, it's because you lack faith that anything will happen. See, what comes into your mind when you think of patience? Is it kind of, for me, it's sort of an old man on a rocking chair smoking their pipe. But Jesus was the most patient man in the world. He was also the most dynamic man in the world. He was the most ambitious man in the world. If you are ambitious, you've come to the right person in Jesus. He didn't just want to save one person, two persons. He wanted to save the whole world. Jesus was the most deeply caring person in the world. He gave his life for everyone. Jesus had the greatest faith. He believed the plans of his Father that his death and resurrection would help people come to God. So how did this dynamic man also be patient? Well, actually, real patience is dynamic in its nature. It's not an absence of anything. Patience is something powerful in its own right. Let me show you the power of patience. I want you to look at this picture. Tell me what you see. Get that up. That's fine, Dave. Thanks very much. Okay, tell me what you saw. What did you see? A few things. Let's see. Just anything.
Child with a bowl on that side.
Child with a bowl. Okay, let's give you a bit more time. Dave, go on.
Making a door.
Okay, we're going to put it down, Verity. You've come in too soon. Okay, what did you see? Let's see if we can think of five things. Verity, you can come in now.
A carpenter making a door.
Brilliant. Francis?
People working together.
Thank you.
Four adults, two children.
Brilliant.
It looks like a girl trying to kiss a girl or something in the middle.
Thanks very much. One more.
Think for lifting water out of the river at the back.
Brilliant. Do you see how much more you saw when you had more time? Patience gives you the time to slow down and see more. When we flash that for a moment, you continue. When we flash out, that was just 30 seconds, by the way, saw all those things. That's actually a picture of Jesus in the carpenter's workshop, by the way. It's a famous painting, and the person who's kissing him, that's his mum, Mary. He's just cut himself on his hand, so it's kind of symbolic of the fact that one day he'll be nailed to the cross. But that shows you the power of patience. And you look to Jesus to find patience. Patience gives you the power to slow down, to see things. And with Jesus, that will lead to a huge profit for God, for you, for this world. Now, personal rider here, I have a lot to learn about patience. Don't look to me to learn about patience. I'm trying to follow God. I'm trying to get better. This week, I was really busy, very busy. On Tuesday, I was working on something. I had one call, and you had another call scheduled after that. And after that, I had a meeting. And I knew the way the calls were going, I was going to be late for the meeting. I hate being late for meetings. And then in between the two calls, on top of the thing that I was doing, knowing I was going to be late, say, I am late. Normally that'd be nice, that'd be a treat. But she said I can tell the story. She was ringing about something very technical, about how to have the Youth Alpha on the TV screen and how to download it and how to use the website. And I knew as soon as she asked, I could feel my kind of bar and it coming up. I could feel all my patience going out, because I knew this was not going to be an easy phone call, and for all sorts of reasons. And I could feel it not going very well. I could feel myself getting more and more impatient. And I thought, hang on a moment, Nathan, try and be patient. So I calmed down a bit. She calmed down a bit. We had a good end. And then I went back to what I was doing, which is writing a sermon on patience. And God said, Sam, you've got a lot to learn. Listen to me. So you're not going to look at me. You're actually going to look at Jesus Christ. And Jesus shows us how patience and perseverance with him leads to a prophet. You see, Jesus wasn't patient because he had a nice, calm life. Jesus was patient within problems. Jesus saw, with patience, how problems equal potential. Patience with Jesus turns problems into potential. Let's give you one of his problems. So the first problem he had were the disciples. They were one big bag of problems. So he had 12 people that followed him. They were poorly educated. They weren't drawn from the ruling class. They weren't experienced in leadership. They weren't from the religious class. So they weren't experienced in scripture. They were slow to learn. Their faith was often weak. They misunderstood. They argued between themselves. They made mistakes. Jesus didn't even choose them. The Father chose them. He got given them. And he had to make the best out of what he was given. But do you remember the picture? When you were given more time, you saw more, didn't you? Jesus' patience gave him time to see more in the disciples. His patience gave him the ability to see their potential. You see, you and I look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Jesus' patience enabled him to see with God's eyes. He saw their willingness to follow him, their passion to follow him. He saw inside what God saw inside, that with him, they had the potential to be world beaters. Jesus, at his death and resurrection, left no training institution, no scriptures, the Bible came later. But yet those 12 people were the foundation for the church, which now has 2 billion people in it, and has lasted 2,000 years. 12 people. Jesus saw their patience. Jesus saw their potential because he had patience. He gave himself more time to look. The second problem Jesus had, so one was the problem with the disciples, two, the problem with the Pharisees. There was a group of religious leaders, priests and Pharisees. Wherever he went, they criticized him. They watched him to get things wrong. They were the people who were meant to support him. They knew the scriptures. They taught the people religiously. But they were always looking out for what he did wrong, what they thought he would do wrong. They criticized him when he healed someone because they said, you're doing it on the Sabbath, which is like their Sunday. You should be resting. You shouldn't be healing people. They told everyone else, don't follow him. Don't follow him. He's not worth following him. Now, if you or I got the amount of criticism from those Pharisees, eventually you'd lash out at them. I would think. I would lash out at them. Also, remember, Jesus can call down angels. He has all the power of God. He could just, boom, knock them down dead. Or he could have turned the mob upon them or struck them down. But he doesn't. A fool shows his annoyance at once, it says in the Bible, and Jesus is no fool. Do you remember with that picture? You saw more when you slowed down, you gave yourself time to think. Jesus' patience gave himself time to think. His perseverance gave him time to see how that problem was actually an opportunity for God. Can you see how dynamic patience is? So, when they come to say to him, oh, Jesus, should I love everyone? Should I even love my neighbour? Because they're trying to catch him out. They want him to sell, they shouldn't love people who aren't very good, and things like that. He says, let me tell you a story. Instead of getting annoyed at them and saying, of course you should love everybody, look at what I'm doing. He says, let me tell you a story. And he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, which we saw in the cartoon last week, didn't we? The Good Samaritan who meets a Jew who's beaten up on the road. Samaritans are Jews, are enemies. Binds him up, pours olive oil on his wounds, looks after him. Jesus turns their criticism and their craftiness into an opportunity to tell a story about how you should love everyone, regardless of race, ethnicity, gender. Wow, that's pretty good, because he's got patience and self-control. Another time they come to Jesus, they want to catch him out, and they say, Jesus, should we pay taxes or not? If Jesus says, yes, you should pay taxes, they'll say, you're on the side of the Romans, and the Romans occupied Jerusalem and Israel, and that would mean he was a bad man. If he says, no, you shouldn't pay taxes, he's going to get in trouble with the Romans, because the Romans don't want people going around saying, don't pay your taxes. But because he's got patience, he can slow down and think. And he says, show me a coin. Whose image is on it? Caesar's, they answered. So he tells them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and God what is God's. Wow, amazing. All that pressure, people crowding around, patience, perseverance with Jesus leads to a prophet. We get a story 2,000 years later that shows us how we should use our possessions and how we should relate to the government. The third problem Jesus has, he has a problem with the disciples, a problem with the Pharisees, and then the third problem is he has to die. He knows he has to die. He knew it would be a lonely death, a painful death. And one of his best friends, Peter, even says to him, oh, don't die like that. That's not what great leaders do. Tempts him to take the easy path. But Jesus' patience allows him to see the potential in his Father's plan. He's not in a race to do what he feels under pressure to do. He's patiently working out the Father's plan. He knows that through his death and resurrection, eternal life can be offered to all people. He knows that when he suffers, he's experiencing the same suffering as us. By his death and resurrection, he shows that human wealth, power, fame, and fortune are of no consequence. It's the spirit that gives life. And that's the reason you can be patient. Don't go away thinking, I'm going to try really hard to be patient. You will fail. You can't do it. What you have to do is take on Jesus' life. You have to let him grow bigger inside you. The whole purpose of your life is to allow Jesus to grow bigger inside you. To let him be more magnificent. To let him fill your life. In fact, the more Jesus is within you, the more you become fully who you should be. Jesus chose you. His patience, him living inside you, allows you to master the emotions which want you to see superficially and which want you to lash out quickly and to take the easy path. Jesus chose you, and since he gave his life for you, you can be absolutely certain he's committed to you. So when you have those problems in your life, he hasn't abandoned you. And Jesus had those problems in his life, he knew God hadn't abandoned him. That was part of God's plan to create a prophet, something good. Since God did not spare even his own son but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Leaning to Jesus, Trust him. Know that when you're in a problem, he's fully committed to you, just as the Father was fully committed to him in his death. And persevere. You will bear fruit. You will grow something wonderful in your life. I promise you that. Absolutely cast iron guarantee. You might think, well, nothing much is happening. Well, look at the houses being built all around us. If you look at those building sites, particularly the one near the top of Hollow Lane, Charles Church are building on, nothing seems to be happening there for a year. And then suddenly, boom, the houses go up. Why? Because they've been spending all their time building good foundations. You ever decorated a room? You know that period where it's an utter mess? You strip the walls, it's cloth all over the furniture, tools all around. That's just before you put the beautiful colours on it. And it all looks nice, but you've got to do that. Sometimes in your life, you've got to do the foundational work. Nothing seems to be going on. It all looks horrible. God is doing a great work before he puts the colours on. You see, patience, once God's inside you, he's growing that patience in you. You're able to be patient with other people. You realise how patient God is with you. He's growing you. He loves you. He's committed to you. He's given himself to you. You can start to choose a small group of people. Don't choose a big group of people. You'll exhaust yourself. Jesus only chose 12. He was the Son of God. Choose a small group of people. Start to pray for them. People who you have a responsibility for. Could be your children, husband, wife, partner. Could be your team at work. Could be your grandchildren. Could be your nephews. Could be your godchildren. Could be your DG group if you're a leader. Your worship team. Your open the book team. Don't choose too many people. Small group. Start to see the potential. You might say, well, I didn't choose these people. I was appointed to be his team leader. I never chose him. Jesus didn't choose his disciples. Just trust that you're where God wants you to be, because you are. Unless God's calling you out, it's really clear you're exactly where God wants you to be. Start to be patient. Start to slow down. Start to see the potential in the situation that you're in, and persevere. Some of the things you do won't work out. Some of the things Jesus did didn't seem to work out. He asked people to follow him, and they said no. One of his closest friends, whom he invested hours of time in, Judas Iscariot, betrayed him and turned him in right at his death. Did Jesus make a mistake? No. Sometimes you'll be doing the right thing and things won't work out. That's when you need to persevere. Because with Jesus, that will still lead to a profit. Even Judas' betrayal led to a good outcome. Jesus' death and resurrection. But you and I are not perfect, so we'll make mistakes as well. Don't think God writes you off when you make mistakes. He doesn't. He died for you. He's committed to you. Ask for his forgiveness and move on. Some of the people you invest in and help in and train and you pray for, there won't be any return soon. They'll wander off. But do you remember the story there? Jesus said, if you read the end of it, it's a key verse. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Just keep going. Trust God. He is going to grow you. Look, it can happen when you give out invitations. I haven't had a chance to put out the cafe invitations this morning. Give lots of them out. Jesus scattered lots of seed. I had to deliver invitations to at least 100 doors until Lillian, you know Lillian and Renato, Brazilian Portuguese couple with little baby Sam, opened the door and she said, yeah, I'd love to come to your, I think it was Easter service. Just think if I had thought after 5 doors, oh, no one's going to answer. We wouldn't have met Lillian and Renato. What a shame. And do you know what? Lillian's got a baby. And so Sally-Ann got Lillian, invited her with her baby to come along to coffee morning. I think with Jill, who's round the corner with her baby, and Charlene with her baby. And that was such a good time, they decided to start a toddler group, which starts on October the 17th. Amazing. Persevere. You don't know what fruits you're going to have. When were you invited? Nobody came. When you invited lots of people, some people came. Scatter the seed wisely. And then sometimes as well, some of you, like the problem with the Pharisees, you'll just be maybe facing ill or declining health. Maybe you'll have financial problems, family problems. You know, when you grow, this is not a bad one to remember, I thought of it myself, which is why I'm so pleased with it. I'm going to hope this comes off. Okay, can you just switch me off, Dave? Okay, when you grow, your Okay, in life, when you grow, when you face a problem with Jesus Christ, that is often the time you're growing. You are growing. Almost invariably, if you're working with Jesus, we've seen with those three problems, disciples, Pharisees, his own death, that's when God was growing things. If you're groaning now, slow down. Ask God to show you what is he growing in you, because he will be. Maybe you need to change your attitude. Maybe he's trying to change your heart. Maybe you need to take more responsibility for something. Maybe you need to show more love, more care. Time to talk, time to relate differently. Or it may be you're not doing anything wrong. You just need to know that you need to ask for more help from them. Maybe you need to get closer to other Christians, get help from them. Often when you're in difficulty, it's one of God's ways of primarily drawing you close to him. Principally, God is wanting you to always draw close to him. That's why I'll give you a problem. He wants you to ask for him for help. That's the principal thing. The second thing he probably wants you to do is to ask other Christians for help. You are the best resource for one another. Did you know that? After God, you are the best resource. That's why it's good to meet at coffee morning. That's why it's good to meet at light and lunch. That's why it's good to meet at DG group. If you're not in one of those, there's no way you can get the help. If you're saying to God, God, why don't you help me? And you're not committed to one of those small groups, how can God help you? Find one that fits your time. Make time for it. We make time for sports, for badminton, for TV, for cinema. Make time, take responsibility, make time to get into groups that are going to help you grow. If you're serious about following Jesus, if you want, persevere, be patient, Jesus will grow you. Okay, and can I have that slide, just that mound? Just one final thing to encourage. If you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, I'm persevering with Jesus, but nothing is really growing in my life, don't be fooled. Jesus is always growing. Can we have the next picture, please, Dave? Thanks so much. This is a mountain, and a priest wanted to have a statue of Jesus on there in 1850. He had this dream of having a statue there in 1850, but nothing happened. Nothing happened, that is, until 1920. Next slide, because this is Mount Concorde in Rio de Janeiro. And in 1920, they built this magnificent statue of Christ the Redeemer. In 1850, they would not have had the technology to build a statue like that. It's so magnificent, so big. Not only does Jesus Christ symbolically embrace the whole of Rio de Janeiro, he embraces the whole world. With patience and perseverance, God will grow a crop in your life. Absolutely guaranteed. God wants to grow magnificent in your life like that. That is God's plan. He wants to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's his plan for this church. We may never be the richest church. We never be maybe the coolest church, the most stylish church. We may never have the best building or the best furniture. We can be the most loving church. Nothing can stop you being the most loving church if you allow God to be bigger here. And that's my dream. That's what I pray for, that you may grasp how wide and high and deep and long is the love of God. That Jesus may grow bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in your lives and fill it up and fill this church up. And my vision is, and our vision for our church is, that Jesus grows like that out of this church and into the village. And I believe that's what he's called us to do. That Jesus wants to extend his love, extend his passion, extend his glory, extend his salvation. Imagine this is Shinfield Village, into Shinfield Village. He wants to love this village through you, through St. Mary's Church. That's what he wants to do. That is possible. Let's have a look at the previous slide, Dave. That was before. Next slide. That's once Jesus gets involved. Don't you worry how your life looks. Remember, patience and perseverance with Jesus equals profit. You lean into Jesus. You remain in him. You keep going. You can be knocked down 7 times. You will grow. As Jesus said, let's read the last verse of that passage again. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. I hope I've showed you how dynamic patience is this morning. how patience, loving patience, has the power through Jesus Christ to transform your life, to transform the life of your family, to transform the life of your community, to transform the life of this village. Shall we pray? I'm going to ask you to be quiet. Let's be patient. Let's slow down a bit. And go on to say to Jesus, Jesus, what are you showing me this morning? Help me to slow down for a moment. Help Nathan to stop chatting. And show me, what is it you, what, and maybe you're groaning. What's God groaning in your life? You might say, Jesus, show me, what are you groaning in this groaning state? Maybe you've got a problem. Jesus, what are you groaning through that problem? I have every confidence, if you ask him, and I'll ask him on your behalf, God, you ask him as well, he will reveal that to you if you lean to him, if you're committed. Jesus, if we've got good and noble hearts, that means basically not very good people, but if we desire to let you fill our lives, that's all it means, and we persevere, you will show us. Jesus, I ask, and I'm confident that you will, reveal, help people here to see what it is you're trying to grow in their lives, grow through their problems. In the quiet now, help me to be quiet when you speak to your people here this morning. Amen. Just take a moment to be quiet. Jesus, thank you that you promise you will help us. And I trust that you're going to grow some wonderful things in people's lives. Thank you that we're patient and we persevere. With you, you promise there will be a profit in our life, a profit of love, of goodness, your goodness, of you growing greater in us, of fruitfulness. Thank you that we can rest in that. Thank you for that confidence. Each person here with a problem, show them how you can grow greater through that. Amen.